I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke this morning. We take a break from our study in Philemon, and we'll read from chapter 19 today, beginning with verse 28. When Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And so it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain that was called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you will say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' And so those who were sent went their way and found it just as Jesus had said to them. But as they were loosening the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosening the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And so they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the very stones will immediately cry out.' And as he drew near, he saw the city Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Because the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you on every side and will level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation.' Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, 'It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, but were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." And so we see Jesus ministered for about 3.5 years up to this point to the nation. He ministered primarily with his teaching ministry, follow up with his healing ministry of many, many thousands of people. We read many examples of his teaching and his healing in Scripture. Most people follow Jesus not because they wanted a transformation in their life, although there were many that did in fact come with faith in Jesus Christ and repentance. And some of the very people that Jesus healed, he forgave their sins also, and he said, "Go and sin no more." But most people follow Jesus because they were curious. They wanted to see the spectacle of miracles. And many people come to church today and many people go to events today because they want to see something spectacular. And I'd like to propose to us today that the most spectacular miracle in Scripture is when God takes and transforms a sinner's life and makes him and turns him into a child of God, cleaning and forgiving and redeeming the sins in our lives and making us clean and pure and holy in his sight. Verse 28 in our text, as we begin to examine it today, just a couple of key highlights. Think on this at home more. But it says that Jesus went on ahead of them to Jerusalem. Jesus was leading the way. He was leading the charge to Calvary. And his disciples were behind him, following him, along with the big crowd of people. As we read John chapter 10, we read that Jesus began this final ascent to Jerusalem after the feast that was called the Feast of Dedication, which today in our language and in our time, it's Hanukkah, which occurs in the winter months. Usually it occurs in December. And so for a period of several months between the Feast of the Dedication and the Feast of Passover, Jesus is working his way through the villages, through the towns, through the cities, working his way ever closer and closer to Jerusalem, where he knows he will give his life as a Lamb of God in ransom for our sins. As you read the ninth chapter of Luke, it says that Jesus set his eyes steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him there. Steadfastly refers to a resolution of the will, a decision that Jesus made. There were several times during the ministry of Jesus Christ when crowds of people that were following him turned away from him and stopped following him. In Mark, three times, chapter 8, 31, chapter 9, verse 31, and chapter 10, verse 32. It's easy to remember. You can go home and look up those three chapters, verse 31, 31, and 32. Three times Jesus stopped and separated his disciples from the crowd that was following him and taught them about his coming death. And yet it says that the understanding, or their eyes of understanding, were closed until after Jesus arose. Only after his resurrection did they understand what Jesus had come to actually do. And so we see in verse 28 the preparation of Jesus as he leads his disciples and they're following him. Verses 29 to 34 describe to us the preparation. The preparation for this day that we call the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But as we discuss this today, I'd like to propose to us that this really was not the day of Jesus' triumph, because his entrance into Jerusalem led him to the hill called Calvary and to the cross. His day of triumph will come in the future when he comes to earth again. Then every knee will bow and every knee will proclaim that he is Lord of all. But on this day, he makes preparation and he sends two of his disciples ahead into the village, ahead of him, as we know this story. I think you've heard many sermons on this story, and I'm not going to review it today except to say the following. There's two schools of thought. Some people think this was an actual miracle, and of course, Jesus did know, and he does know everything. Jesus is God, and God is omniscient. Omniscient means God knows everything about everybody and about all of our lives. And so Jesus certainly knew about the donkey and its colt there. And he knew that he was going to ride into Jerusalem on this donkey. Not as a conqueror on a white horse, but as a humble servant coming in to serve and to minister. Donkey was something that the judges often in the Old Testament would ride around on. Jesus had come as a judge to Jerusalem, knowing that the people would reject him rather than accept him. So it really was not a day of triumph for him, although we typically call it, and most of your Bibles have a little entry there that says the triumphant entry of Jesus. But there's a second school of thought that says that Jesus may have prepared ahead of time on one of his previous visits. This may have been his followers, and he may have discussed with them that he might need in the future to use these donkeys. We don't know. The fact is that this person, whenever the disciples came and were beginning to untie the donkey and its colt, and when they asked, and when the disciple says that the master or that the Lord has need, notice that they immediately gave the donkey and the animals to the use of Jesus Christ. And the important lesson for us today is everything we have, our very breath that we breathe, all the material goods that we have in our life are given to us to wisely use for the glory of God in ministry and service for his glory. And although we can amass a certain amount of wealth in our life, there can come a time when God might demand a portion or perhaps even all of it as a test to see if we're willing to serve him as these people did. There were many people that ministered to Jesus. It says that many women ministered to Jesus with their financial resources. Shortly after this, as you read the accounts of Jesus, he sent several of his disciples to prepare the Last Supper, the Passover. And it was prepared in an upper room. It was a pretty good sized room to fit 13 men and a lamb and a feast and a supper of the Passover. We read in Acts chapter 1 that the church, the 120 that were awaiting the arrival of the Holy Spirit, they met in the upper room. When we come to Acts chapter 12, when we read about Peter being arrested, the whole church met and prayed in Mary's house, Mary the mother of John Mark. And so there were people that ministered with their resources. And so these could have been followers of Jesus, and when the time came, they immediately gave up the things for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus enters Jerusalem. We read in verse 35 through 38 the reaction of the crowd. And I'd like to bring to your attention today that the crowd consisted of two separate, distinct groups of people. There were the 12, the disciples. And then in the next verse, verse 35 is they, the disciples, they threw their clothes on the colt and they put Jesus on it. But verse 36 says that there were the many. So there's the 12 and then there's the many. And as Jesus begins to enter Jerusalem, from the other accounts of the gospel, we read that some came out of Jerusalem to meet Jesus. And the crowd, each of the gospel narratives gives us a different account, slightly different details of what they saw and remembered from that day. And almost all of the accounts have this text from the Old Testament, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They were expecting a military, a political Messiah. But notice here, this text, I want you to go home and think about this, is that peace in heaven, not peace on earth, not peace in the hearts of the people, but they were talking about peace in heaven. Paul in Romans talks about the peace that we have that comes through the fact that we've been reconciled with Jesus Christ. Notice the distinction between the they, the 12, and the many, the crowds. Later on in that week, a large group of this crowd will be yelling and screaming to crucify Jesus. Most of these people were gawkers. They came out to see a miracle. As you read John chapter 11 and the resurrection of Lazarus, it says that it was 6 days before the Passover. And many came to see Jesus because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Later on in chapter 11 of John, it says that many followed Jesus because they had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They were gawkers. They were simply there to see things. They were not true worshipers and followers of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus weeps. He weeps because Jerusalem does not have peace. He weeps because he says, "Jerusalem, if you had known that the day of your visitation had come, if you knew that I had come to bring you peace with God, but you did not, then because of this, Jesus cries." But the reality is that for those of us that have accepted, those of us that do believe, the atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross, what happened that Friday when Jesus died and shed his blood, that became the basis of our peace with God. And although Israel did not receive peace at that time, instead they received war, they received punishment, they received judgment from God. A short 35 years later, in AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, came in and destroyed Jerusalem. Over 1 million Jews were crucified. Think of the numbers. 1 million people being killed in a year's time in and around Jerusalem. The nation was devastated. But there is coming a day. Paul writes in Romans, he says, the day is coming when Jesus Christ comes at the end of the great tribulation. All the remaining Jews alive at that day will be saved. They will have peace with God. They will enter into the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes in glory, it says his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives and he will enter Jerusalem. That will be his real, genuine, triumphant entry into Jerusalem, where he sets up his 1,000-year reign as king over all the earth, as king of Israel for 1,000 years. The promised kingdom will then occur. And that is when the real triumphant entry will occur. And so may God bless his word as we meditate on it this week. Amen.